Parshas Lech Lecha is a very full parsha with many, many events in it. But there's one story in there which doesn't seem to be so crucial for us to know, and that's the story of the four kings fighting the five kings. There are so many stories that are not written at all, and we would think that they would be a lot more important to include. For example, the story of Avram almost dying in the Kivshon HaEsh when Nimrod tried to kill him after he had destroyed all of his fathers of Avodah Zarah would seem to be an important story, and we don't have any textual indication of it happening from inside the Torah. We only know about it through Chazal, through the Midrashim. And yet this war between the four kings and the five kings, which doesn't really seem to matter to us at all, is written in great detail. The Midrash says, Imra'isa Malchios, if you see countries, Miskares Elu Be'elu, fighting each other, if you hear that there is a war going on, and even if the war doesn't include Eretz Yisrael, but there's a war between Russia and Ukraine, there's a war between two different countries, you should wait, it says, L'ragle Shel Mashiach, anticipate that this is going to have something to do with Mashiach coming. When you see kings fighting, even in distant lands, know that it has to do with us. There's a reason for it, and in some way, it's going to be a step in the coming of Mashiach. Doesn't mean Mashiach is going to come right then, unfortunately, as we know. There have been many years and many wars, but it does mean that something, there's a purpose of this war, is to bring to the coming of Mashiach. And the proof to this, Chazal, that if you see kingdoms fighting, that you should know that there's going to be, that it's going to do something, it brings this war as a proof. It says that when this war was over, Avram gained mastery over all the nations. His name becomes famous, and everybody knows about him, and he becomes a leader of nations. Although this creates a question for us, okay, so Avram becomes very great. What does this have to do with the coming of Mashiach? This war doesn't seem to bring us any closer to the coming of Mashiach. We have a story in the Gemara about an individual whose name was Rabbi Eliezer ben Harkonos. Rabbi Eliezer ben Harkonos was a farmer, and he and his brothers were plowing in the field. They were in a valley, and he was on the hill, and his cow tripped, and it wasn't able to work anymore. And he exclaimed, "It's a good thing that my cow can't work, because I don't want to be here anyways." He gets rid of the cow, and he gets rid of his farmer clothing, and he runs away to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who is the great Tana at the time. He didn't take any food with him, so he was eating clumps of earth for nutrition. And when he got there, when he got to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he had a very bad smell in his mouth. The terrible mouth odor that he had was very troublesome to the people sitting around him. And when Rabbi Yochanan realized what was going on, he gave him a bracha, and he said, the same way that the bad smell of your mouth spread to everyone, so should the delicious smell of your Torah spread to everyone. The father of Rabbi Eliezer was not happy that his son had run away, and neither were the brothers. They thought that he should, if he's going to inherit with them, he should do the work with them. And so they incited their father, the father of Rabbi Eliezer, the brothers of Rabbi Eliezer incited the father of Rabbi Eliezer to go to Rabbi Yochanan and to swear that his son was not going to inherit anything from him. When he got there, he saw that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was sitting at a meal with all the other great Tanaim of the time. Rabbi Yochanan told Rabbi Eliezer to speak, but Rabbi Eliezer was uncomfortable to speak in front of his Rebbe, so the Rebbe went out and he started to give a drasha. And his face was shining like the sun, and there were rays coming out like the rays that Moshe Rabbeinu had, and people couldn't tell if it was day or night because the room was so lit up. Of course, his father regretted his decision to disown him. Rabbi Yochanan then came back into the room, kissed him on his head, and he said, "Gebench, should you be, blessed are you, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that a child like this came from you." That's the story, as it's told. In a different medrash, it tells us what this amazing drasha was, the drasha that made the rays come out of his face, the drasha that made Rabbi Yochanan give him such a great bracha, the drasha that made his father change his mind. What was he saying? What was this great drasha that Rabbi Eliezer was saying? And it brings a pasuk from Tehillim, and the interpretation of Rabbi Eliezer. The pasuk in Tehillim is, Cherev paschu rishayim, the Rishaim used their swords, v'darchu kashtam, and they prepared their bows and arrows, lahapil ani ve'evyon, to kill the poor person, litvayach yishrei darach, to slaughter with their swords the straight people. What is this pasuk talking about, says Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Eliezer says this pasuk is talking about our war of the four kings and the five kings. The king Amraphel, who was Nimrod, had tried many times to get rid of Avraham Avinu. He came up with a plot. He says, I know if I start up with Avraham, then likely HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make a nace again, like he did by the Kivshon HaEish. He said, so therefore I need to come up with a better idea, a way to pull Avraham out, entice Avraham to get into a battle with me, and perhaps that way I'll be able to win. So he came up with a plan, and the plan was that he was going to fight against the king of Sodom. And if he fights against the king of Sodom, and he knew that Lot lived in Sodom, he said either Avraham is going to come and save him, and perhaps he'll be killed that way, or even if not, then Lot will be captured, and Lot looks like Avraham, and we can march him up and down the streets in victory and show people that we have, well, either Avram's nephew, or perhaps many people would think that it's Avram himself in the hands of Amraphel. So his whole point in going out to war here, Nimrod, Amraphel, was to capture Lot, which is why once he captured Lot, it's interesting if you look at it and in the text, the whole war stops, because the whole point of the war was just to get Lot, because that's what he was trying to do. That's what he was trying to accomplish here. Rabbi Eliezer takes this pasuk, and he's going to connect it to the story. Cherev paschu Rishaim, ze Amraphel. That the Rishaim, who are the Rishaim that take the sword and the bow and arrow? That's Amraphel and Nimrod v'chaverav and his friends. V'darchu kashtam, and they prepared their bow and arrow lahapil ani ve'evyon, to kill the poor one. Who's the poor one? It's Lot. Litvayach yishrei derech, to kill the straight one, that's Avram. So basically, Amraphel, Nimrod, is going to use his bow and arrow to kill Lot, and use his sword to slaughter Avraham Avinu. So I heard from Baruch Rosenblum two questions on this medrash. He says, first, the question I already asked, what was the brilliant interpretation here that because of this, everyone was so impressed with him? That's one question. That's a basic question, but a little bit of a deeper question. When you look at the difference between a sword and a bow and arrow, the sword you use for your closer enemy, meaning a sword is an immediate weapon. It kills immediately. The bow and arrow kills from a distance. So if the plot was to use Lot to get to Avraham, then your threat in front of you, that means the closer victim, the one that you're going to use the sword for, is really Lot. The bow and arrow is the more distant one. That should have been Avraham. And yet we see it the other way around. We see Darchu Kashtam, they used their bow and arrow, Lahapil Ani Ve'evyon, who we said is Lot. So it looks like they're using the more distant weapon to get the closer victim. Really, the sword should have been used against Lot, and the bow and arrow should have been used against Avraham, because Avraham is the secondary victim, meaning they're trying to get to Avraham, but first they're going to use Lot. So we would think that the sword should be used for Lot and the bow and arrow against Avraham. And the answer is that, and this will answer our question also about how this war brings us Mashiach, is that the Ani and Evyon that we're talking here about, so the words of the Medrash say that it's Lot, but it's really not Lot. It's really the descendant of Lot, which is a reference to David HaMelech, who is indeed an Ani. He had no life of his own. He was meant to die when he was born, and he only lived because Adam gave him 70 years. And it's also a reference to Mashiach, who is called an Ani Reichiv Achamar. He's a poor person who's riding on a donkey. So when we say that he used his bow and arrow to kill the Ani Ve'evyain, what we're talking about is he wasn't trying to kill Lot. he's trying to kill who's going to come out of light, and that's David, and that's Mashiach. Actually, if you look at the gematria of light, it's the same gematria as Adam, which stands for, as we know, Adam stands for Adam, David, and Mashiach. What he really wanted to do was to kill light, because from light was eventually going to come Mashiach through Ammon and Moav, through Rus and through Naamah. So it makes sense now. True, their immediate goal was to kill light to get to Avraham, but their even more distant goal was not to kill light, but was to kill who was going to come out of light. The long-term goal was to destroy the potential of Mashiach. This was the great Chiddush, and this is what Chazal means, that in this fight of the four kings and the five kings, there was a cosmic battle going on. It's the forces of evil trying to wipe out Mashiach. But because Avram was victorious, they did not succeed. And in the end, the sword was turned against them. Sodom was saved. Light moves back to Sodom. The city is going to be destroyed. In his desperation and belief that he's the only one left, he has these children, Ammon and Moav, with his daughters. And through that, Mashiach will come to the world. What we are learning here from Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus is look deeper into things. You may think that this is a short-term goal to get light to get Avraham, but no, this is a short-term goal with a long-term goal and then a very, very distant goal. When things go on in the world, there's always something that has to do with us. This is true when the war is distant. How much more true is it when the war is in our homeland, when we are fighting ourselves? So the bracha and the tefillah is that we shouldn't have to wait long. When it says, wait for Mashiach to come, tzapel raglei shel Mashiach, that we shouldn't have to wait too long, and we should quickly hear the footsteps of Mashiach.